The following shir has been presented by Dayan Yohannesen David Hul, Dayan for the Beis Avad in Yerushalayim, and is brought to you by the Beis Avad Halacha Center. For halachic wills and estates, or other inyana Yerusha, please call the center at 1-888-485-VAAD or visit thehalachacenter.org.
Sochim Daf Kaf Zayin. Today's shiur we're going to discuss the concept of Zeh V'Zeh Goyrin, which means to say that if you have two things which influence a chefetz or an object, one of them is forbidden and one of them is permitted, then since the final object comes about as a result of both forces, the permitted object and the forbidden object, Zeh V'Zeh Goyrin, there is a machlokes tanoim, and the halacha is that we follow the opinion of Shimon that Zeh V'Zeh Goyrin is muta. In the classic example, which is brought in our Gemara, if you have a dough, which is made up of flour and water, which has been fermented with yeast, and the yeast that is being used is itself a type of sourdough, which is made up of terumah. The yeast which is fermenting our bread dough or our challah dough is actually terumah, which can only be eaten by a kohen. Then if it ferments the dough, then the entire dough becomes only permitted to a kohen and forbidden to everybody else, just like the terumah. However, if the so'er is chulin, is something which is can be eaten by everybody, then the dough which is fermented by this so'er will also be permitted. What happens if the dough is fermented by yeast, which is partially truma and partially chulin? Part of the yeast is truma and part is chulin. So we have a situation of zeh v'zeh goyrin. The fermentation of the dough is completed by two separate things, one which is truma and one which is chulin. Does it now become truma or not? So according to Rabbi Shimon, it's chulin, and that's the halacha zeh v'zeh goyrin muta. So too, if part of the sa'or was forbidden for whatever reason, a part of it was muta, then if they together create the fermentation process in the dough, zeh v'zeh goyrin would be muta, would be okay. Now, we have a similar situation in the Shulchan Aruch, in Yerudeh, Hilchos Bosa V'Cholos, Simon Pei Zayin, Seafood Aleph. There it's talking about a cheese-making process. And the way one makes cheese, certainly in the old-fashioned method, is to take the milk and put it together with a substance, I believe called rennet in English, which causes the milk to condense and become firm and to turn into cheese. So now, if this dova ha-maimid, which creates, which turns the milk into the cheese, if the dova ha-maimid is something which is forbidden, for example, it comes from the stomach of a non-kosher animal, which was very commonly used to make cheese, which is incidentally one of the reasons why most cheese which has not got a hechsher is actually non-kosher. And if the dova ha-maimid is something which is forbidden to eat, then the whole cheese becomes forbidden to eat. Says the Shulchan Aruch there, the dafka shelo ha-shom maimid acher, rak ha-osr. That's only if the cheese came into formation because there was one element which was maimidit, and that was something which was forbidden to eat. Aval ha-shom gamkein maimid heter, if together with the forbidden maimid there was something else which was maimid, which was actually permitted to be eaten, in that case, the cheese came about through two things, one which was forbidden and one which was permitted. Together they combined to be maimid the milk and make it into a cheese. Zeh is muta, along as actually in the end you don't have some of the dova maimid actually mixed into the cheese. Because then you have a separate problem, that something which is forbidden to be eaten is present, and then we would have to rely on bittul beroyim. But as long as the element which is forbidden is bottle beroyim, that doesn't present a problem. What does present a problem? The fact that it was marmed the milk into cheese is itself a problem. But as long as together with it there is something which is marmed, which is permitted, we use the principle of zeh v'zeh goyrim and its mutter. Now, point out both the Shach and the Taz, each one in their own nusach, an important halacha. And they note that the Tosfos in Maseches Avodah Zarah, Daf Samaches on the base, says that when does Rav Shimon say Zeh V'Zeh Goyrim is muta, that's only if there's not enough of the forbidden yeast to ferment the dough by itself. And therefore there's a combination of forbidden yeast together with permitted yeast. Together they ferment the dough, and that is when we say Zevazegurim mutter, because there's not enough forbidden yeast on its own to create the fermentation process. Therefore, since it requires something mutter as well to work together with it, that's Zevazegurim is mutter. However, if the forbidden yeast on its own was enough to actually ferment the dough by itself, it just happened to be that there was also some kosher yeast which was also present and also contributed towards the fermentation process. In that case, even Reb Shimon, who normally holds Zevzeh Gerim Mutter, would here hold the Zevzeh Gerim Aser. He only says it's Mutter if the non-kosher yeast requires the kosher yeast to be able to work at all. But if the non-kosher yeast on its own could have created the fermentation process, it's just that there's kosher yeast as well, and then if together they work together, then even Rav Shimon agreed as ever they're going in such circumstances is also. So would say the Shach and the Taz, and the same thing in the case of the cheese. Although the Ramah says that the Dova HaMaimed, which is Osa, is mixed together with the Dova HaMaimed, which is Mutter, then the cheese becomes kosher because there is a Gerim Mutter. That is only if the Dova Osa on its own would not have been enough to be Maimed and create the cheese. However, if the Dova HaMaimed on its own would be enough to create the cheese, then the fact that there's also a Dova HaMaimed which is Mutter doesn't help you, because Rav Shimon agrees in such a case that Zev is a Gerim is Osa. So say both the Shach and the Taz in Yerudah and Simon Peizayin on Sif Yud Aleph, based on the Tosfos and Avodah Zarah, which we mentioned earlier. However, in our sugya, it's clear from Tosfos and Psochim Daf Kaf Zayin Amud Aleph the exact opposite. Tosfos clearly points out that when it comes to Zev Zegerim, which is Mutter, not only are we talking about a case where the Isser itself is not enough to create the process and requires the Heter together with it, but even if the Isser on its own would have been enough to create the fermentation, nonetheless, if together with it there is something which is mutter as well, which is also creating the fermentation, then we still say Zev Zeh Gerim Mutter. Not like the Tosfos in Avodah Zarah, who says that in such a case Zev Zeh Gerim would be also Lekula Alma, but on the contrary, Reb Shimon holds even in this case Zev Zeh Gerim, because at the end of the day the fermentation of the dough took place via two things. Something which was a mutter and something which was osa. Even though the thing which was osa would have been able to produce the same result by itself, nonetheless, it didn't do it by itself. It did it together with something which is mutter. So Zev Zeh Gerim would be mutter even in such a circumstance. So this is our Tosfos in Psochim Daf Kaf Zayin Amud Aleph. The Chaznish in Yerideh Simin Kaf Tes in Sivkot and Beis, and again in Sivkot and Gimel, takes us even further. And he says that according to our Tosfos, not only is it permitted according to Reb Shimon, even though the Tsa'ur Ha'osa would have itself been enough and sufficient to create the fermentation process, nonetheless, since the Tsa'ur which is Mutter together with it, we say Zev Zev Gerim Mutter. But even the Chachomim who argue with Rav Shimon and normally hold Zev Zev Gerim Osa, here would agree that Zev Zev Gerim Mutter. And on the contrary, the Chachomim only say Zev Zev Gerim Osa in a case where the heter on its own would not have been able to create this result. And only together with a combination of the Issa, we say Zev Zeh Gerim is Osa. But if, although the Issa on itself would have been able to create fermentation, but the heter on its own would also have been able to create a fermentation, then even the Chachomim agree that Zev Zeh Gerim is actually Mutter. The only reason why the Chachomim disagree in our Gemara, says the Chaznish, is because we're talking about a case where the yeast continued fermenting the dough beyond what it normally required. So as far as the normal requirement of the fermentation of the dough, there was enough non-kosher yeast to create it, but it acted together with kosher yeast. So Reb Shimon, according to Tosfos and Psochim, would hold Zev Zeh Gerim Mutter, and even the Chachomim would agree in such a case. The Chachomim only disputed because the yeast, which was not kosher, or which was truma, continued fermenting the dough beyond what it required, and that it did by itself, without the aid, so to speak, of the kosher yeast. In that case, it's going to be also because there's an additional fermentation which is not done by two elements, it's done only by the Dova or Ha'osu, or the Dova of Truma. In that case, the Chacham would say it's a problem. And Rav Shimon only disputes that because he holds that any fermentation beyond what is required is already lifgam. It's a detriment to the dough, and therefore it doesn't count at all. But in principle, says the Chazanish, according to the Tosfos in Psachim, if it only fermented the dough to the extent that it is required, then even if the non-kosher dough by itself or the truma tikka dough by itself would have been sufficient, if at the same time nonetheless it acted together with something which is not sufficient, which is not forbidden but is kosher or is not truma or is chulin, then everyone would agree that zeh goyim is mutter. So to summarize, according to the Tosfos in Avodah Zorah, we only say zeh v'zeh goyim mutter if each one on its own would not have been sufficient and they needed each other combined, the issa and the heta, to create the effect. And so Paschal's the Shach and the Taz in Yerodesu and Pezayin. However, Tosfos in Psachim seems to say not like that. It seems to say that even if each one on its own could have created that effect, if nonetheless they act together, then we would still say zeh v'zeh goyim. Now, let's take a practical example of zeh v'zeh goyim, which appears in Shulchan Aruch, Aruch Chaim, and Hilchos Shabbos, Simin Shin Yud Ches, Seif Tes. Everybody knows it's forbidden to cook food on Shabbos. It's a Malacha Deraisa. If one does cook the food on Shabbos, then it's forbidden to eat this cooked food on Shabbos, because it was created through a Malacha on Shabbos. Now, says the Shulchan Aruch, if someone took some salt and put it inside a Keli Rishon, which is Al Aish, the pot which is actually cooking on the fire itself on Shabbos, and someone added raw salt to this pot, then he has done an Issur d'oraisa of Bishul. However, says the Shulchan Aruch, there are more, nonetheless the food would be permitted to eat, although normally food which is cooked on Shabbos, since it came about through a Malacha, is forbidden to eat. In this case, the food would be permitted, because the food itself was already cooked, and it's only the salt which you put in which has now got cooked on Shabbos, and the salt would be also, but the food would be mutter. Now, the Ramah gets this halacha from the basis of quoting the Shiboli Aleket in the name of Rabbeinu Simcha. Says Rabbeinu Simcha, on the other hand, l'chora, the food should become forbidden. Why? Because the salt which was cooked on Shabbos is now forbidden, and the salt is now mixed in with the food, so why doesn't the whole food become also? Says Rabbeinu Simcha, because the salt is bottled in the food, it's bottled barayv, so though the salt itself is also, because it was cooked on Shabbos, it's bottled barayv in the rest of the food which was cooked before Shabbos. Says Rabbeinu Simcha, if you're going to tell me that the salt should not be bottled barayv because it's nice and tam, and the klal gadol is that anything which gives a taste to the food is not bottled barayv until it's in such an insignificant amount that it gives no taste, but if it gives taste to the food, then it's not bottled barayv, and this salt which was cooked on Shabbos surely gives taste to the food, and therefore the whole food should become osa because the salt is not bottled barayv. Answers Rabbeinu Simcha, most food which is cooked already had some salt added to it before Shabbos, and that was perfectly mutter, and there was no problem in eating that because that was cooked before Shabbos. So in effect, the salt that now gives taste to the food is made up of salt which was mutter, which was cooked before Shabbos, and together with salt which was osa, which was cooked on Shabbos. And therefore we have a situation of zeh v'zeh goyim. The food itself was cooked before Shabbos, so it's kosher. Why are you going to tell me there's a taste in it of salt which was cooked on Shabbos which is forbidden? It's zeh v'zeh goyim. The salt taste in the food is made up of salt which was okay because it was cooked before Shabbos, together with salt which was not okay, which was cooked on Shabbos. Zeh v'zeh goyim, halacha is his mutter, and therefore there's no problem whatsoever. So here we have a classic case of zeh v'zeh goyim, where there's something which is osa, something which is mutter, both together give taste to the food. Since zeh v'zeh goyim is mutter, it will be perfectly permissible to eat this food on Shabbos, even though Malacha d'oraisa was done with this food by cooking the salt. Now, interestingly, the Taz in Aruch Chaim there disputes this halacha, and the Taz says, surely we won't say zeh v'zeh goyim in such a case. When do we say zeh v'zeh goyim is mutter? If both the forbidden thing and the permitted thing acted together to create the fermentation, or to create the cheese, to be mined with the cheese, or to be nice and tam. But in this case, the kosher salt, the salt which was cooked before Shabbos, was already there before Shabbos, and it had already done its effect so to speak, of trying to give taste to the food, but it wasn't sufficient to give taste to the food. Now on Shabbos, additional salt was added. That salt is salt which is now also going to get cooked on Shabbos, and together with the previous salt, it creates a taste. But says the Tos, that's not called Zevzegurim. Zevzegurim is only when they act together, but when the Mutterdicker thing acted first, and then at a much later stage, the Ossendicker thing was added and made its effect, then we don't use the principle of Zevzegurim to say it's Mutter. So says the Tos. However, the Elia Rabbah and many other Achrayim dispute this, and they say, no, it's not true. Zevzegurim is Mutter even if it occurs afterwards, and they don't actually work together. And the lie is for the Brisa, which we brought in our Gemara. Then the Brisa says that if you have Sa'ur of Truma together with Sa'ur of Chulin, then Zevzegurim, according to Rav Shimon, it's fine, it's Mutter and it's Chulin, and it doesn't become Truma. Bein Bitchila, Bein Basoif, which implies that even if the Sa'ur of Truma was added at a later stage, when the Sa'ur of Chulin had already had its effect and was no longer having a fermentation effect, nonetheless, since the final fermentation was caused by both of them, the Truma and the Chulin, even if they didn't act together at the same time, but combined they added to create the fermentation, that's still called Zevzegurim. So too in our case of the salt which was added to the food on Shabbos, since there was salt beforehand, even if it already had its effect, the effect was not enough to give taste to the food. It's only combined with the salt which is forbidden on Shabbos, which together with the salt which was permitted, give taste to the food, even if one came after the other and it didn't work together, nonetheless all these posts can dispute the task and they say we still say Zev Zev Goyim is Mutter and the food will be permitted. And the Mishnah Berurah Takapasas Aloch Lamaisa, that although there is a task, most posts can dispute the task and they say Zev Zev Goyim is Mutter, even Bazer Chazer, as long as the final effect was created by two things, the Mutter Dika thing and the Osser Dika thing, we would say Zev Zev Goyim would be Mutter. According to the Shach of the Tazim Yeridah, that would only be in a case where the salt which was added by itself would not have been sufficient to give taste to the food. But Lechora, according to the Tosfos, our Tosfos Imsochim, even the salt which was cooked on Shabbos would itself have been enough to give taste to the food. If nonetheless it gave taste to the food together with the salt that was there before Shabbos, then we might also still be able to say Zev Zev Goyim would be Mutter. But I'll compile him, Lechora, the Ikas, like the Poskim in Yeridah, the Shach and the Taz, and they seem to hold, like the Tosfos in Avodah Zarah, that Zev Zev Goyim is Mutter, as long as each element by itself would not have been enough to give the effect which it did. In such case, Zev Zegerim would be Mutter.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To reach the center for halachic services or consultations, or to present a shaila, please call 1-888-485-VAD. That's 1-888-485-8223. Or email info@thehalachacenter.org.